It's welcome, Jacob Swell. Good to have you with us. And I'm Greg Meyer, pastor of Jacob Swell, and just want to share some ideas kind of fitting along with what that song was about. I want to talk about kind of lining things up today. So when I think about where I want to go with this message today, I think about a story from Jesus' life. You may be familiar with it. It's a famous story, John chapter 8. So Jesus is in Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel at that time, and he's at the temple, and people are talking to him. And there's a lot of people that aren't very happy with Jesus. He's messing up the status quo. They want to see if they can't trick him. So what do? They find this woman who's been caught, the scripture says, in the act of adultery. However they caught that. So they drag her to Jesus in the middle of the marketplace, in front of the temple, and they say, Jesus, what are we going to do? This woman was caught in adultery. The law of Moses says we're supposed to stone her. What do you say? Well, Jesus is a smart guy. He knows he's in trouble, all right? I mean, they're setting him up. He can, if he's got any brains at all, he can either, do what is right, or he could live to do something right again another day, right? I mean, this is a mob. They've all got rocks. And they're trying to get Jesus caught on a technicality. So what does he do? He does what any smart person would do. He kneels down and starts drawing in the sand. And everybody's kind of caught off guard and wondering what he's all about. And all of a sudden he stands up again. He says, okay, if any of you are perfect, if none of you have ever done anything wrong, then go ahead, throw a stone. And he kneels down and starts drawing in the sand again. You can imagine there's just like silence. How do we deal with this? And one by one, the story tells us, beginning with the oldest, which I think is interesting, they drop their stones and they start walking away. Now this story has lived and been powerful for 2,000 years and shaped what it means to be a follower of Jesus and understand who Jesus was. And what I love about it is there is no miracle in the story. There's no great show of power, no long speeches. No, just, what did Jesus do? He simply knew what was most important and he did it. That's it. He acted out of what was real basic, was totally true for himself. And because of that, this has been a story that has inspired and motivated countless millions of people over the years. Now, in case you're wondering, you know, what Jesus did was actually a really hard thing to do. I mean, it seems so simple. You know what is right to do, and so you do it, right? But, you know, it doesn't go that easily all the time. I mean, all of us have a million examples of times when we knew what the right thing was to do and we didn't do it anyway, or we knew what we weren't supposed to do and we did it anyway. You know, I don't know whether it was, cleaning your room when you were supposed to, or finishing the job on time, or not eating the cookie in the cookie jar, whatever it is. There's a million little things like this where we know exactly what we're supposed to be about and what we're supposed to do, but we don't do it. But it's important. God has a lot invested, and I want to talk about why. In the fact that we would line up what we are about with what we actually do. And in fact, what I would call that integrity, okay? Integrity is the word that we give to that. Integrity is a mark of character, but we often elevate it as, you know, the people with great character, people with great integrity are these, you know, great people. They're people that we have awe of, that, you know, they're famous, they're heroic people, they're not people like us. I mean, we can't really have that kind of character, but that isn't true. I mean, there's nothing necessarily heroic about it. It's simply just doing what you believe is the right thing to do. In fact, my definition for integrity is simply taking the different parts of your life and having them weave in one direction, to move in one direction together. Taking the different parts of your life and lining them up with one another. I think that's what integrity is all about. It's kind of like this, okay? So we've got these, you know, there's a lot of ways you could talk about this and a lot of ways you could divide these up. For simplicity's sake, I just want to talk about these three components of life because I think they really fit with what we're talking about. First of all, you got what's important to me. You'll know what's important to you. Not just on the surface, but deep down, okay? And after that, you have what I want to do. I mean, if it's important to you, but you don't want to do it, it's not going to get you very far, right? All right? But then there's this other really bothersome component to it that I wish wasn't there, but it's what I actually do. All right, would you agree that those three things, if we could live those out, what's important to me, what I want to do, And what I actually do, when those are together, I could say I have integrity. Now the problem is, we often don't put them all together. It's a little too much trouble to actually live that way. So we do things like, you know, we take what's important to me, and isn't it enough that it's simply important to me? Can't I just build my life on what's important to me without having to bother with actually wrapping my life around and actually doing it? But the problem is, this is what happens. When you have life and you just have what's important to you and it's not lined up with those other things and we try to step on it, oops, didn't really support my life very well, did it? Maybe some of you are lighter. Okay, so maybe it's good enough, maybe that's not good enough, but what if I take just what's important to me and I want to do it. Oops. Important to me. And isn't it okay if I just kind of want to do it? Do I actually have to do it? Can't I just like want to do it? I mean, isn't it the thought that counts? So maybe we just put the two together and say, that should do it, right? That's good enough? I'm not even going to try it. I'll run out of boards. But, not listening to the crowd here, it's starting to resemble that mob from John chapter 8. But, when we take all three together, what's important to me, what I want to do, and we match it up with what we actually do. You ready?
Yeah.
I see money changing hands.
Yeah.
It didn't break. Why didn't it break? Because there's integrity. You've all heard of structural integrity. Architects, engineers, they put things together in a way that they support, that they do the purpose they have. If there's not enough strength there, if things aren't aligned properly, it's all gonna fall apart, it's all gonna break, it's gonna collapse. Now we think, you know, that's kind of funny. You know, people talking about people building their lives on just one part or, you know, on two and not putting all three together, but folks, we do it all the time. We do it all the time, we don't bother. We don't take the time, we don't take the focus, we don't examine ourselves to find out what's really important. And so we start doing things just because it's there to do. We don't choose. It gets chosen for us sometimes, but other people don't really care. They haven't really looked inside to see what's important in our lives, so we start acting out other people's scripts and agendas for our lives rather than our own. It's not the way to live. God wants us to have all three together. We want to have all three together. It's pretty important for us to do that. Now, there's reasons why we don't. It's hard, and it's important to kind of be honest about some of these. And one of the reasons that it's hard to keep all these things lined up is that we have all kinds of barriers between us and actually doing it. And one of those barriers is the fact that, you know, I don't really know what the right thing to do is sometimes. And that's true. I mean, well, what exactly? So maybe one of the things that's really important to me is that I'm, really responsible environmentally. I want to have less impact on the environment. So should I go buy a car that's more fuel efficient, or is that wasteful because they had to produce another car and I'm getting rid of an old car and I'm wasting more energy than I'm saving? I mean, it can get really complicated like that. Or maybe I've got a friendship and I want to be a really good friend to this friend, but this friend is starting to do stuff that really isn't very nice to other people, and I'm not sure, well, should I stick with my friend and try to kind of work from the inside, or should I just walk away from that friend because I really shouldn't, you know, be encouraging and supporting that kind of behavior from my friend? I mean, we don't always know what the right thing is to do in some of those situations. Another barrier is that sometimes we know what we want to do. We really think we have the right thing, but our hands are tied. Maybe it's an issue at work of integrity or something that is happening in your office that you think is wrong, but you're not in a position to really be able to make a change. You want to. You know it needs to happen. You want to be able to do it, but you don't feel like you can. Or maybe it's, you know, something like, well, I want to have my life be a little more free. I want to volunteer with some of these things. I want to spend more time with my family, but I feel like my hands are tied because I have a job and I have to support my family and I have to put in these hours in the office and things like that. So, you know, I feel compromised. I find it's hard to do that. Those barriers are real. That makes life hard. That makes having integrity difficult for us. There's another thing. There's not only barriers, there's also something I would call battles. These are battles that are going on within us. battles that keep us from manifesting, you know, what I know is most important in life to what I actually do on the end of it all. And these battles really kind of probably come from this point where it says, I know what's important, and I know what I want to do, well, sort of. I mean, we're not quite sure. Often it's because of our emotions. It's because I know what I'm supposed to do. I know I'm supposed to be loving to my wife, but she really made me mad today. You know? Or, you know, I know what it's like at work, but they don't pay me enough, and I'm resentful, and I'm not going to give my best. You know, there's all kinds of things. This is human, messy stuff that creeps in there. And sometimes those barriers, it's not just emotions, but it's that side that is our ego. My ego says, you know, I know I'm supposed to apologize, but then I would have to admit I was wrong. You know, and I don't want to admit that I was wrong. Our ego becomes a battle that we fight that keeps us from putting all of those three boards in the row so that we have that kind of integrity and can walk in that kind of strength in our life. And here's the thing with this. I think what we learn from listening to God talk to us is that's okay. It's okay. But we aren't asked to be perfect. God wants us to follow. God wants us to... You see, here's the deal with integrity. This is what I like about it. Integrity is not a how much. How much integrity do you have? Do you have more than you had last week? Do you have more than you had last year? Do you have more than this person or that person? That is not the integrity question. The integrity question is not a how much question. It's a how to question. It is about the moment. It isn't about the past. It's not about other people. It's not about being perfect. It's about asking the question, living it out, that says, in this moment, In this choice, in this decision that I have right now, how can I live with integrity? How can I be the person that I really feel I'm supposed to be? That's where the real battle of integrity is. How do I live it out right now? It's not a how much, it's a how to question. It isn't about yesterday, it's not about tomorrow, it's about today. It's about the moment that you are in, and God is with us. So that how to isn't easy, though. How do I do it? And it kind of probably goes back to that very, very first board, that if we don't have that one straight underneath, it's really hard to build the other ones on top of it in a way that work. This, what is important to me? I just want to kind of throw out something that maybe might help you think about this. Do you know what an epithet is? An epithet? I think of Homer, not Latin, in the Greek mythology, and I think of Athena, the clear-eyed goddess. You know, it's when you have a description that is added to your name that says who you really are. Greg the long-winded, Eric the brave, Lydia the ice cream eater, you know, whatever it might happen to be. But if we can understand what is something that's really important, more important than those, okay? But you would say, this is my epithet. And don't get distracted by superficial things that seem to be who you really are. Things like, you know, George the architect, or Chris the teacher, or Lynn the soccer player. I mean, those might be important characteristics about you, but we need to get deeper than those things. So, a project for you, and I think this is on the family drive time on the bottom of your Sunday paper, on the bottom of the outline area there. What would be an epithet that you would be proud of to bear? Ryan the... I mean, for me, I think about it. The fact that I am a father and that I'm a husband is much, frankly, much more important than Greg the pastor, Greg the father. But even Greg the father maybe is a little bit too vague. Well, what kind of father? What is it? What's really important about being a father for me? What is the aspect of it? And to dig that out and to find that and to create an epithet. So maybe in group life this week, or do it with your friends, with your family, work it on yourself while you're commuting to work. What would be the epithet that you would be proud to bear? Maybe two, maybe three or four of them that express what is most important for you to begin to build some of that stuff. So that deep down part, I think that is where all this really becomes crucial, to understand what this is all about. But one of the key things is that finding that integrity, lining up what's most important to you and what you want to do and what you do, can't be isolated to just you, okay? I mean, you can have, in fact, it's not terribly hard to have integrity, what I would call internal or isolated integrity. In other words, you're you've decided what you want to be most important, and now I want what's most important. A great example is I've decided that most important thing for me is to be rich. So I want to have a lot of money, therefore I'm going to do whatever it takes to make a lot of money. You know, that internally works. But in terms of the world, it really screws things up. I mean, I think when we just have our own internal, our own isolated integrity, it doesn't mesh with the world. Guess what? You are not just in this world, you are part of this world. God loves it that way, you love it that way. We need each other to see ourselves as part of the world. You know, so when we create our integrity around our own internal, our own isolated ideas, I call that you are creating the world, or you are creating integrity of your preferences. And you are not called to create integrity out of your preferences. You are called to create your integrity out of your purposes. What do I mean by your purposes? I'm not talking about a script. I'm not saying that God created you with certain purposes and, you know, you're supposed to go to this school and have that career and move to this town, marry that person, that kind of stuff. That's not what it's about at all. God looks deep inside that stuff, that most important stuff inside you that God planted you, planted there. The shape, the skills, the gifts, the experiences, the personality that you have. And what is the part that it plays in this world? And where do those most important things emerge out of that? See, when you create integrity, internal integrity, just by yourself and not with the world, when you haven't meshed that with this fabric of existence that God has been weaving since the beginning of time, and you are an intrinsic part of it, there is something missing. There is something broken. Now, I'm not trying to. God's not trying to make it harder for you. God's trying to make it sweeter for you. God wants you to have an experience with this world and with your life that works. That where you find that peace that passes all understanding, as the Bible talks about it, where we find that life isn't just about survival or it isn't just pursuing success, but it's about actually seeking significance, that finding a life that matters and discovering something called meaning and fulfillment. That's the stuff that's there when we start finding an integrity that isn't just grounded in our preferences, but in the larger purposes of this world that we get to define. A last little note here. There's a very troublesome religious word that I think we probably all know and probably none of us really understand very well, that probably very few of us like, and it's the word righteousness. Is that kind of a warm, cozy word for people? I think I'm going to go be righteous today. You know? It tends to mean something like, I'm supposed to be good, not bad. I'm supposed to, follow the rules? I'm supposed to just obey God? It has something to do maybe with, like, the Ten Commandments. When I do that, I'm righteous. When I'm not, I'm not. And it doesn't sound exciting or motivating. It sounds like obligation and duty. That's not what it's about. That word righteous, to do a little word semantics for you, is the old English version of the Latinized word, which we know as justified. You all know what justification means. You do it on your computers every day. On your word processing program, you decide whether you can be left-hand justified or right-hand justified. Well, what does that mean? That word means that things are lined up. You're lined up. Stacked in a way where there is structural integrity. Righteousness is about integrity. When God says, I want you to have a righteous life, God isn't saying, I want you to be good, not bad. I want to make sure you follow these rules and they obey me. God is saying, I want your life to be lined up with what this world is about and who you really are. Because that is the fulfillment of your life. There are ways that you're doing this already. There are ways where you're struggling and have messed up and are looking back, and that's okay. God calls you and says, you know, there's always hope. I want you to discover who you are. I want you to find the joy that you can discover in being the person I created you to be, and find the strength of character that is there when you start actually living the life that I gave you. Because it's good stuff, and it fits you. Do you see the freedom in that kind of integrity, righteous living? It isn't scripted for you. It's expressive of you. It's owning yourself. It's becoming yourself. Not the self of your purposes, but the self that is real, that is part of this world, not just in it. So may it be so. Join me in prayer. God, I ask you, maybe on behalf of every person here, that you help us be the person that we are called to be. The person that knows and can live in the situation that we're in right now in a way that makes a difference, that makes us come alive and gives life to the world around us. Help us have the courage to apologize and clean up the mess where we thought we were doing the right thing and it wasn't. And help us have courage to do those things that might get us in trouble, but we believe they're the right thing. Most of all, help us be learners. Because none of us knows how to do this first try. We don't even know how to do it first try. But we can follow. And we can live growing in the forgiveness and the grace and the love that you give us. Help us learn from the integrity that you showed us, and help us be examples to one another. In your name we pray. Amen.